1 and verse number 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, and thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honour and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever, and thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that our God will be exalted today, that we will see a manifestation of his strength and power, his saving ability and might, even in our meetings today. We have sung unto thee because thou art God, and we thank thee, Lord, for the words that we've been singing. Faith is the victory. Lord, thou hast told us to have faith in thee. And we pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen that faith today, deepen our love, and give us that closer walk with God. Lord, whether we're saved for decades, or whether we're saved for weeks, we pray that this day the Lord will speak to us. Help us to grow. Help us to love him more. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. I pray that you give me help to deliver this word to the glory of thy name. For Christ's sake, amen and amen. Remember, Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 are a pair. And Psalm 20 that we looked at last week was the prayer for God's help before the battle. There was trouble, there was difficulty, and there was a need for God to step in. Man couldn't deal with this problem himself. And therefore, the prayer is given. And remember, verse number 9 of Psalm 20 was, Lord, save the king and hear us when we call, would be the accurate translation of that verse. And you know, God heard and God answered prayer. God answered the prayer of the king. God answered the prayer of the people. And here we come to chapter 21 of the book of Psalms. And here we have a psalm of rejoicing because of what God has done. And we can divide this psalm into three thoughts this morning. And as I sat down to study this, my plan, and as I had looked over it, was to go through each of these three thoughts this morning and simply cover this psalm in one message. But you know, whenever I started studying and when I started reading and I started writing, I didn't get beyond verse number 3 because there's so much in this psalm. And therefore, we're really going to look at the first part of the first thought today. And I trust it will be a blessing to your heart. The first part of this psalm is verses 1 through verse 7. Verses 1 through to verse 7. And it could be entitled, The Blessings of the Lord. Because this is what they do in the prayer. They recount what the Lord has done for them and the blessings that he has given. And thinking about that, I want to remind you this morning that all blessing is from the Lord. He giveth all good gifts. Anything that's good and blessed in our lives is from the Lord. And that's exactly what the king does. He acknowledges that the blessings he has received, and especially in relation to the battle that he has just faced and come through, is because of what the Lord has done. The Lord has won the battle. And from the day of difficulty, the king has emerged victorious and he has emerged blessed, but he attributes this to the Lord. Look what he says in verse number 1. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly he shall he rejoice. Now, it was often customary in ancient times that whenever a king or a general won a battle, they came and they were at the head of the parade, and the people cheered and applauded them, and they were set up as the mighty, strong, and victorious ones. But what does the king do in this instance? He attributes all the glory and the praise and the honour and the blessing to the Lord. He joys and rejoices in the strength and the salvation of the Lord. What a challenge today. Before we go any further in this psalm, are you rejoicing in Christ? Are you praising him for his salvation in your life, for his strength that has kept you to this hour? You say, but preacher, you don't know where I'm at today. I'm in a lonely place, or I'm in a dark valley or in a tight corner. And preacher, how could I do that? Remember, David's circumstances didn't dictate his joy, because he rejoiced in the Lord before the battle as well as after it. And you know, the Lord has saved us. And it's only by the Lord's strength and power that he has kept us to this moment. And therefore, we ought to rejoice and joy in his strength and in his power. I know sometimes we come to problems, or we look at the future and think, how can I do this, or what's going to happen? But the king is rejoicing in the strength of the Lord. Not in the greatness of the problem, but rather in the greatness of God. And dear believer facing difficulties today, yes, your problems may be big. Yes, they may seem like mountains before you, but remember, he is bigger than all our problems, greater than all our fears. He's bigger than any mountain we can or cannot see. And he's not ashamed to declare that his joy and that his strength and his salvation come from the Lord. And then he goes on and he looks specifically at the blessings he has received. And if you look there at verse number 2, the words given and the words not withholden speak of things that the Lord has done for this man, the king. He has given certain things and he has not withholden certain things. In other words, God has answered his prayer. Look at verse number 2. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and has not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. Now, if you go back to Psalm 20 and verse number 4, it says, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. So the prayer beforehand was, Lord, give me the desires in my heart, and then help me to pray for them and see them given. And the prayer now is, Lord, thank you for giving me the desires of my heart and for fulfilling them. When God puts a desire within our heart, a good desire, a godly desire, then he will not disappoint us when we seek him in the place of prayer. Now, the fact is that the king was walking with the Lord. This is so essential. The king was walking with the Lord. And therefore, he knew that what was in his heart was right, because he was right before God. He had clean hands and he had a pure heart. And sometimes people live, even as believers, they live very worldly. And they don't mind sin in their life, or they're not bothered really by it. But whenever trouble comes in, they'll pray a wee prayer, and some may expect the Lord to answer immediately, even though they're not walking with him, even though they don't repent of their waywardness. And they somehow just seem to think that the Lord is a little bit like a bank, and they just go when they need something. Right, that's not the relationship the child of God ought to have with Scripture. Our life ought to be in tune with the Lord. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. How do we have that? By confession of sin and by that close walk with God. We know that when a person walks in obedience to the Lord, that is through the Bible and through prayer, that that person knows God putting desires within their heart. How do I know that? Because when a person reads the Bible and the person prays, there'll be a desire to worship God. When a person reads the Bible and prays, like the people on the day of Pentecost, there'll be a desire to tell about the Lord. And all our desires that God puts upon our heart. And what's interesting here is at the end of this verse, there's the word selah, and that means pause. It's musical terminology. It's a pause. It's a break. Maybe for the instruments to play a line and stop singing just for a moment to think about what has already been sung. Man has just prayed, and God has answered. Man prayed to God, who is answerable to no one. And yet God heard and answered this man's prayer and fulfilled the desire of his heart. Surely that's something for us to stop and to think about. God answers our prayers. But whenever we read the Bible, we find that there are conditions to God answering our prayers. And really, the bulk this morning of what I want to speak about is this. some reasons why your prayers aren't answered. Some reasons why my prayers are not answered. The Bible gives us various reasons, and I want us to leave them before you today. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 19, Matthew 17 and 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And here is the thing: because of your unbelief. They didn't have faith that it could be done. Now, that might sound very strange, but have you ever prayed, "O Lord, will you save my loved one? Lord, will you save my neighbour?" And then in conversation with people, "Oh, they've no interest in things of God, don't know if they'll ever be saved." Friend, that's unbelief. Your attitude ought to be, "I'm praying for that person. I'm waiting for the Lord to move in that person's life. I'm looking forward to the time when I come to church with that person, worship with that person, fellowship with that person." Away with this unbelief. I meet Christians and say, "Well, things are never going to get better. Things are never going to be, just get worse and worse and worse." Friend, read the word of God. Better things are coming. And therefore, there's no point praying, "Lord, send revival," and then going around with that shit, "Oh, well, things will never get any better." That's unbelief. So we need to exercise faith in our prayers. What's the point of even asking if we don't believe? They that come to God must have faith. They must believe that he is who he says he is and whom he claims to be. Then if you turn over to James chapter 4, another reason why prayer isn't answered. And in James chapter 4, verse number 3, it says here, "Ye ask," James 4, 3, "ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." So here's selfish praying. And the only reason you're praying for certain things is that you will be satisfied, and not necessarily in a spiritual way. It's maybe asking for a bigger bank balance, and all you're interested in is the money, and you're praying, and maybe you have faith and you believe God can give it to you, but the reason you're giving it is not to give to the work of the Lord, not to see what you can do to help the poor and the needy, but just so you have a big bank balance. And friend, that, of course, is selfish praying. It's satisfying the lusts of life. And there are times that that's done. Maybe, for example, someone is praying for a relationship that the Lord would bring together someone to them, but the person they're praying for is not saved. Well, of course, that goes completely against Scripture. That's not for your spiritual good or edification. That's simply to fill your lusts. And therefore, if we're praying for selfish reasons, we will receive not. 1 John chapter 3, just over a few pages there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. And here's another reason. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And another reason why the Lord does not give us what we ask for is because of our disobedience. Because here is a condition to prayer, that we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we walk with God, then we can expect God's best and God's blessing. But dear brother and sister, you can't be living in disobedience and then somehow expect that God will give you everything that you ask for. In 1 John chapter 5, just over the page there, verses 15 to 16, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." So we have to pray in the will of God. So if you're not praying in God's will, it doesn't matter how long you pray, it doesn't matter how often you pray, it doesn't matter if you have a million people praying the same thing, if it's not in God's will not be given to you. And therefore, how do we know if something's in God's will? Well, is it scriptural? Is it a promise that he offers to his people? Is it something we're told to seek after? Are we walking with the Lord, truly walking with the Lord? Are we clean and pure within? And has that desire been put in our heart? Well, then, that is of the Lord. Friends, sometimes we pray for things that are not in the will of the Lord. And we have to realize that God's will is always best, and God's will is right. And while it may not be nice that we are asking for something and maybe desiring for something and sincerely desiring for it, but God's answer is no, we have to realize, well, if that's his answer and that's his will, then that's what's best for me. James 5, if you turn back just a couple of pages there. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And therefore, if we have unconfessed sin, then that will hinder our prayer. Friend, if we're right with God, if the heart is clean, if we're walking in the paths of righteousness, then our effectual fervent prayers will avail much. But if they're not, it may be that there's unconfessed sin in our lives. Turn to Psalm 55 and verse number 17. Psalm 55, verse number 17. And it says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And here is persistency in prayer. Persistency in prayer. We read of the parable of the persistent widow. And she kept praying and praying and praying and praying until the judge gave her what she had asked for. And friend, prayerlessness or a lack of persistence in prayer could be the reason that our prayers are not being answered. It ought to be the joy of the Christian to sit down with the Lord each day and say, Lord, I love thee. Lord, I need thee. Lord, use me and fill me and give me desires that bring glory to thy name. But friend, if you're just running to God when you're in difficulty, friend, there's no persistence there. There's prayerlessness there. And how can God bless such living? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. And it says there, Matthew 5, 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gifts to the altar, to the place of worship, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And here's another reason. Sin against others. Sin against others. A friend, if there is sin between two people, if there is something, a hindrance between two people, that has to be sorted first of all. Now, I know that not everybody will be able to sort out their problems, because it may be, on the one hand, that one person doesn't want to forgive. One person doesn't want to move on. One person doesn't want to solve the matter. And friend, if that's the case, there's nothing really we can do but pray for that person. But certainly, if there's something just in your heart, a hatred against someone, you can pray the most wonderful prayer, full of great theology and doctrine, quoting the great Christian heroes of the past. It'll go no higher than the ceiling. If there is something in your heart against another brother, then that has to be sorted. Something in your heart against another sister, you need to do what you can to try and have that restoration of fellowship. And as I said, it's not always possible if the other party isn't willing, but there ought not to be any bitterness in your heart. No hatred in your heart. No thinking and looking down on someone in your heart, and I trust and pray that as we come to the place of prayer, that that is the case. Let me put it this way. If you're praying for the Lord to move and to bless a congregation in the prayer meeting, and walking out of a prayer meeting, you're talking to someone else about someone else who's sitting in the prayer meeting, against them, ridiculing them, friend, there's serious issues. God will not hear and answer such prayer. James chapter 4, we're almost through here. James chapter 4 is quite a list of reasons, but certainly we want to give them to you from Scripture. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Friend, you do not come with arrogance before the throne of God. You do not come with arrogance before the Lord and somehow expect that that impresses the Lord. You read the word of God. You see people filled with the Spirit of God. Friend, it wasn't arrogance. It was humility. Who am I, says the psalmist, that thou should think upon me? And we need to humble ourselves. We're man coming before God. We don't demand anything of God. We come in prayer in Jesus' name, making petition through the Spirit of God. And therefore, we need to remember to humble ourselves, because God giveth grace unto the humble. Psalm 17. And there's just two more left. Psalm 17 and verse number 1. And it says here, prayer of David, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. You see the word feigned? It means lying. Lying or deceitful. In other words, one of the reasons that God doesn't answer some prayers is because those lips were used for lying. Lying. A friend, it doesn't go together. We know that. We know that prayer unto a holy God and then lying with those same lips, there's no unity. There's no good. There's going to be no blessing there. A house divided against itself shall fall. And if you find yourself, folks, telling lies to get out of situations, get out of trouble, then you need to get before God and pray that the Lord would give you a hatred for lying. Because I can tell you now, if you continue with that, useless. You're going to be useless in the place of prayer. That needs to be cleaned up before you come into the presence of a holy God. You cannot come in as a liar and then expect the spiritual blessings to rain upon you. No, get the matter dealt with first of all. Proverbs chapter 28. And in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. A lack of Bible reading and a lack of Bible teaching. Now, this is so important because it's through the teaching of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God, that we learn who God is, that we know more about God. Now, we know that we can read over a passage again and again and again and again. And as we read over it, we get different things every time emphasized to us. And that's why it's important to open the Word of God. That's why it's important to seek the Lord after you've read the Bible, because you have material there that you can bring before God. Lord, your Word says this, and I long for this. But here's what the Bible says. Whoso turneth his, or he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You see, the reading of God's word and prayer go together. And that's why it's important for you to take time every day to read and to pray. It's not just a matter of saying your prayers, friend. It's a matter of coming before God and listening to what he has to say in the word, and then continuing in his presence and you speaking to him in the place of prayer. Do you see how important it is? Friend, I'm sure that you want to have a prayer life that is a blessing to you, that's a blessing to this congregation, that's a blessing to your family and to your community. We're not going to turn to the verses today, but we know in Matthew 6, when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Don't be trusting in the length of time you pray. Don't be trusting in the phrases that you say. Friend, come before God and honestly pour out your heart. Be sincere before God. Do you think you can impress the Lord by putting on a show or putting on an act? Just be sincere. And then, of course, another thing that we must do is pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we know that when we're asking in Jesus' name, it must also be in his will. So let's just review these very quickly. Unbelief, selfish praying, disobedience, not praying in God's will, unconfessed sin, prayerlessness or a lack of persistence in prayer, sin against others, a lack of unity, pride, lying, a lack of Bible teaching and Bible reading, trusting in the length or the form of your prayer, not praying in the name of Jesus or in the will of God. And friend, whenever we consider our own personal prayer lives, and even whenever we read the scriptures, we realize that there were people in scripture, and we can identify them, and there were times they walked closely with God, and the Lord put desires in their heart, and they prayed those desires, and those desires came to pass. But you know what? We know that there are times in the Bible when there were people who were not walking with God, and they prayed, and God did not give them the answer to their prayer that they desired. And we know we've been there. Now, of course, at times, the answer is going to be no. There's things that we pray for. And we have to remember that he's sovereign, he's good. If he says no, it's for our good, for his glory. Perhaps the answer is wait. But whether it's yes or no or wait, we have to come right before God. We don't just skip in with sinfulness and with those marks that the Lord Jesus Christ has died to save us from and then expect the Lord to bless us without even humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, cleanse me afresh. Give me thy desires. You know, as I thought about that verse in Psalm 21, thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips. There's only one person that truly, truly can fulfill that verse. And that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one of whom this verse is a perfect description. There was no desire of his heart that was withheld, and there was no request that was denied. He was able to say in John 4:34, my meat, or my purpose of being here, is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work. In John 17:4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John 11:42, I knew that thou hearest me always. And here we find, especially in John, which emphasizes the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son, that his great desire was to do the will of the Father. John Gill writes about this verse, whatever he asked in the council and covenant of peace was granted. He asked for all the elect as his spouse and bride. These were the desires of his heart and his eyes, and they were given to him. He asked for all the blessings of grace for them, and all grace was given to them in him. He asked for glory, for eternal life, and it was promised him. Whatever he requested of his Father when here on earth, it was granted. He always heard him. That memorable prayer of his in John 17, verse 1, is heard and is answered. And whatever he now desires and requests in heaven as the advocate and intercessor for his saints is ever fulfilled. We are commanded in Scripture to pray, and to come before God in a specific way with preparation of heart and mind, so that we will be able to seek him and fellowship with him. You know, there's maybe a question in your mind. There is often the question that's asked, and with this we're through today. Why pray? God's sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. So why pray? This question was asked 484 years ago by John Calvin. He wrote a book still used today called Institutes of the Christian Religion. It was published in 1536. And he asked that question. And he said lots of people, even in his day, asked the question, why pray? And I'm going to quote what he said. Does God not know, without needing to be reminded, both in what respects we are troubled and what is expedient for us? Does it not seem superfluous that he should be stirred up by our prayers as if he were drowsily blinking or even sleeping until aroused by our voice? But they who reason such do not observe to what end the Lord instructed us to pray. For he has ordained prayer not so much for his sake, but for ours. Firstly, that our hearts may be filled with a zealous and burning desire to ever seek, love, and serve him. Secondly, that we may enter, that there may enter into our hearts no desire and no wish of all that we should be ashamed to make him a witness of. And thirdly, that we would be prepared to receive his benefits with gratitude of heart and thanksgiving. Benefits that our prayer reminds us come from his hand. See, prayer sets us on fire. It fills us with zeal and with excitement about the things of God. Prayer causes us to walk with the Lord, and therefore godly desires will be brought into our heart. And prayer gives us an attitude of gratitude, thanksgiving. Lord, for what you have done, I'm praising you now. I'm worshipping you now. And E.M. Bounds, who wrote many volumes on prayer, and they're well worth reading, said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations, not new or novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer. And using the word men, he means men and women. Men and women of prayer. A praying Christian is a holy Christian and a happy Christian. A praying Christian is the delight of heaven and the terror of hell. William Cowper wrote these wonderful words, they're in our hymn book. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Have you no words? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain. And fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would more often be, hear what the Lord has done for me. The more you pray, the more you'll be like Christ. The more you pray, the more you'll be blessed. The more you pray, the more your church will be blessed. The more you pray, the more your family will be blessed. The more you pray, the more your community will be blessed. And the devil will do everything. Don't worry about it. Put it off until tomorrow. Friend, God calls us to pray. And whenever we're praying his desires, then we'll be able to say, Lord, you've given me thy desires and you've not withholden the requests of my lips. If you haven't prayed today, then I encourage you when you go home, take some time. Seek the face of God. Pray and ask for his blessing. Friend, if you're coming, as Scripture commands us to come, nothing will withhold the blessing of the Lord. May God make us a praying people. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of bowing before thee. Lord, we need thee today. We confess that so freely. Everything that we have is from thy hand. Every blessing we have is from thee and from thee alone. And we thank thee for everyone that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, for believers today. Lord, we need prayer to keep us strong. We need prayer to keep us holy and, Lord, therefore keep us joyful. Lord, help us to have that sincere prayer time with thee. Keep us faithful to thee in the closet. And I pray that, Lord, as we seek our Father in prayer, that we will see answers to our prayers. Growth in Christ. Souls saved. The church revived. This land transformed. It all starts with prayer. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray, to say, here am I. I am surrendering all today. And I'm going to come before thee and be that effectual man, that effectual woman spoken of in James. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to pray much and see much done for thy glory. Bless us, we pray, and keep us faithful to thee. Be glorified in the rest of this day. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen and amen.